Good afternoon. So my talk is about a color quality assessment method using memory colors. And what I mean by that will hopefully become clear in just a few moments. So first I would like to go through very quickly, because Yvonne did a great job doing this already, about what is color rendering, how is the color rendering index defined, some criticisms about it, and a problem that we've identified for using color rendering difference metric, and reference illuminance. Then I'll go on to discuss the basic idea of the memory color quality metric, how we collected our data, how the method actually works, how we validated it, and some of the conclusions. And I end with some suggestions for future work. Now, what is color rendering? Well, if you look at a bunch of objects under one light source, they don't necessarily have to look the same under another light source. So actually, just about the influence of the light source on the appearance of an object. That's where the color rendering index gets in. So here, it's just influence of a light source on appearance of an object. Now, how did the CIE actually define it? With reference to a reference illuminant. So we take the color of a set of samples under the test source, we calculate a reference illuminant, and then we just calculate the difference between the appearance under the test source and the reference illuminant. And then we get a number that tells us something about the color rendering properties of a light source. Now, the question is, do we actually need this reference illuminant, and what are its properties? So this is just a color difference-based metric. The larger the differences, the worse will be the number. Studies have shown that this actually correlates poorly with visual assessments, more in particular, assessments which measure or which try to measure visual appreciation. Also, some other things that are criticized are, for instance, the outdated color space, small non-saturated sample set, and so on. And based on this, a technical committee was established in late 2006. There has been a lot of active members there from over 13 countries. And of course, several proposals to improve or even supplement or replace the current index. Now, color rendering, as I said before, is actually color difference with a reference illuminant. This is how it is defined. But it was also acknowledged that there is a need for more subjective measures, because people are maybe not always interested in color fidelity or color rendering as defined here. Sometimes people are just more interested how natural or how attractive objects look under a given light source. So that's where our idea comes in. For instance, if I were to ask the audience, which of these two light sources would you take as the reference? I think most people would agree that they would select the left one. Why? Well, you ask yourself naturally, which of these two sets have the most, let's say, real colors? Obviously, this is the left one. So, okay, let's take this one as a reference illuminant. What does a color difference metric do? It just compares the difference between the colors under the reference with the test source. The larger the number, or the larger the difference, the lower the RA value. If you go up, we'll see the differences decrease, your value goes up. Of course, if you have the same light source, you would get a score of 100. But then what happens when you come across a light source like this? There is, of course, a difference. So color rendering would be lower. But it does not actually mean that the visual appreciation would be lower, because most people would agree that now this source has a higher color quality than this one. So this means that reference illuminant is not the optimal illuminant. Not in a color in a strictly color difference-based metric. This is something I would like to stress, because I've heard many people in the industry that have the idea that high correlation, or let's say high CRI values, are necessarily high appreciation or high naturalness or so on, which is actually not the case. It's not going to be bad, but it's not necessarily the best. So I would like to stress, reference illuminants are not necessarily the optimum. So is there a way we can define color quality without the need of a reference illuminant? Yes, we could, for instance, use the memory colors of familiar objects. If I were to say to you, think of a green apple, most of you have an idea of the particular type of green they think an apple should look like. Same for a ripe banana, tomato, and so on. So what is the idea? We compare of a set of familiar objects, their color appearance under the test source, with the memory colors that we've measured. The idea is simple. The more similar light source renders the objects to what is expected, so our memory, the better will be the color quality. How did we measure colors, these memory colors? We designed a special illumination box where we have the object placed on a transparent support. It is surrounded by a diffusing tunnel, and around the diffusing tunnel are mounted colored LEDs. With these LEDs, we can change the color of this object. The tunnel is there so that we mask any specular reflections. This way, the observer will have no idea what the color of the illumination is, and the object itself would change or appear to change color. Of course, this is not what the observer saw. There was still only a small viewing screen, which only lets the observer see the object and the white background. This white background is important because it's self-luminous. So that means even if we change the color of the object, the reference white or the adaptation white will stay the same. What did we do? We take, for instance, an object and we change its color in over 100 different with over 100 different colors. We had a team of observers and we had them rate each color, each presented object color on a scale from 1 to 5. Of course, some colors would be rated poorly, others would be rated more highly. And combining this data, we can actually fit a function to these scores. So what you see here is a uniform color space, it's IPT color space, and here are the mean ratings on a 5-point scale of all the observers. The black dots are actually the mean ratings. So we can fit a nice function to this. These functions are actually the basis of the memory color rendering. So this is what we will be using to estimate color quality. We did this not for just one object, but for several, with hue spreader under hue circle. Now, how does it actually work? We get this function. This is the fitting function. These parameters are actually just fitting parameters. Now, we calculate just the object appearance of a particular familiar object under the test source. Once we input that chromaticity into the function, we get a number, and this number tells us something about the similarity of that object color with the memory color. The memory color being the top here of the function. As I said before, high similarity with the memory color is assumed to be and synonymous with a high color quality, at least in that part of the hue circle. So because we have we have 10 objects, we can have special memory color indicators for different parts of the hue circle. We can plot them, for instance, in a spider diagram. This is one for Illuminant D65. You notice immediately that D65 is not the optimum light source compared to memory colors. If it were the optimum, all these points would have to be on the one on the edges here of the spider diagram. If you do the same thing for Illuminant A, we can immediately see the differences. For instance, orange colors will score higher in Illuminant A, while bluish colors will score higher in Illuminant D65. Now we also need one number. We just took a geometric mean of these special color quality indicators, and that gives us a general memory color quality indicator. Now this is a number from 0 to 1. Now we want a score that is more representative or more easy to accept or understand by people who are used to working with the CIE color rendering index. So we just fitted the psychometric function. Actually, we didn't just fit one. We said 1 should be 100. 0.5 SA should be 0, because anything lower than this was rated poorly by the observers. We placed F4 and 50. F4 is the same light source which is used to place the CRE at 50. And we placed D65 at 90. Why not at 100? Well, we know, or we acknowledged before, that D65 is not optimum and light sources can score higher. Now, if we plot the F 1 to F12 light sources, which are in blue here, or 39 commercially available light sources, we see that there's a fairly good correlation between our scale, our new scale, or our N value, and the old system, which means that old conventional light sources typically keep approximately their old scores, which is important for acceptability of a new metric. Now, the main difference is mostly in LED-based lamps. Now, we have two metrics. We have a new metric, and we want to check how does this compare to the old system, even though, of course, the old system was not intended to correlate very well with visual appreciation. Nevertheless, it's often used as one as a measure for that. So what did we do? We collected data ourselves, but also data from literature. And based on this data, we calculated metric performance. So the metric performance was just the correlation between the metric predictions and then the actual visual data. To increase the statistical significance, I said before, we didn't just use one study, but we collected as many as we could find. In total, we had 9 studies. And these studies investigated not only preference or attractiveness, which I termed appreciation, but also naturalness. And in total, I tested not just the memory color quality metric and the old CRI system, but in total I used 35 different color quality metrics or versions thereof. So these are the results. This is here a Spearman correlation, and these are the different metrics. So we immediately see here that there's for naturalness and for visual appreciation that all of these metrics are actually pretty much having the same performance. All of these metrics here, I don't know if you can read them, but these are, for instance, the NCRI with several different sample sets. This is the CQS fidelity version with several different sample sets, CQSA with several different sample sets, and so on. So we can see here that a strict color difference-based metrics or even slight deviation thereof doesn't correlate very well with naturalness, nor with visual appreciation, which actually means reference illumens chosen, which means an equal CCT reference lumen, need not be, and is most likely not, the most optimum light source. If we go and have a look at, for instance, for visual appreciation, you can clearly see here that this metric, which is, luckily for us, our own metric, correlates very highly with visual appreciation. The second best one here is CQS preference. Just to give you an idea, this is 0.88 correlation, this is 0.58. So this is a difference of almost 30% difference with the second best. If we go for naturalness, we find that a geometric mean of the gamut area index and the old CRI system actually works pretty well, comparable to memory color runningness, but this time for naturalness. But if we look at CRI separately, or gamut area index separately, we can see that if you use these two metrics just side by side, that they don't work. You have to actually combine them. And the best way to do this is just take a geometric mean. Because I've tried other functions which kind of take into account the suggestions made by Mark Rea, and that doesn't always correlate very well. The best correlation is just simple geometric mean. Now, what are the conclusions? If you want to have a metric that predicts visual appreciation very well, you could use MCRI. If you want naturalness, you can use this one. Both these metrics showed high correlation and were significantly better than all other tested metrics. I also checked which metrics were significantly better than the old system. So I will not name them all, but they are given here. And another important conclusion is that even if you update the CIECRA, it is not a significant improvement. And I think the main reason is that there is the wrong choice of reference illumens. So we got a memory color quality that works well for appreciation of existing light sources. But now there are some problems, let's say, with this, and I got this asked many times before. What about cultural differences? So at the moment, I'm trying to set up an international collaboration where we will be repeating the experiments again but in different parts of the world, to see if there are actually significant changes in memory color position for a set of familiar objects, for instance, in Asia or North America, South America, and so on. We'll be doing these testing on computer this time, not with real objects, because it's just too hard to rebuild the entire light boot that I made all over the world. It's easy to just use a calibrated computer screen. I know there's some problems there because real objects and computer screen don't necessarily give the same results. But if you do the experiments all over the world with the same medium, any differences that we see then would be resultant of cultural differences and not any media-related differences. And if there are any people in the room who are willing to participate in this collaboration, I would please ask, contact me, and the more people and the more experiments being done on this, the better. So, if there are any questions.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the validation step of your procedure, and I'm looking at the Spearman rank correlation, and I'm seeing some disturbingly low values, which of course is in a vacuum. Low values are okay, except what is the significance of those values that we can be able to compare and say that these are significantly different Spearman scores at such low values? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, the if they are very low, then you get your reasonably low significance. But we've compared the ones with the very with the higher ones. Those were significant. So we checked first before comparing them if they were significant or not. For one study, they might not be significant, but we could actually combine them using a meta-analysis of correlations, and that way we got the necessary statistical significance to be able to draw these conclusions.
Yes, that does seem like a problem going forward, just in general for these kinds of studies. But especially if you want something that's objectified, they have a subjective memory color, in which itself, how reproducible is the memory color over observers and situations?
Just a brief answer to that question in the hopes that we could take another one as well.
Yeah. Okay, so there was fairly, there was good agreement between them. So we checked the observed variability, and once we took the observer with the least variability, once we take it out of there, we got no significant difference. We knew we had enough data to stop, and we used those data to do the fitting.
Another question.
So in your test, you had your experiment had like a white background.
Yeah.
First thing, what was the illuminant that you used to light that background? And the second question is, if you change that illuminant, did that change what the optimal position for the rendering of an apple would be?
We used one fluorescent tubes of 5600K. We only did it with that CCT. Just because we did not have time to repeat all of the experiments with a different CCT, but the luminance was such that we had fairly almost complete adaptation to that chromaticity. And that way we were fairly certain that our results would hold up, at least under the assumption that the chromatic adaptation would hold up. So if there's a weak point, it's chromatic adaptation though.
Okay, so you did not try changing the background.
No, we did not have time to do this.
And I think we have time for the one additional question I saw. I'm not sure where it was, but here
it is. Could you confirm that you just used LED light source to simulate all the light sources in your experiment?
Yeah, it was just LEDs. It was an RGBA source. There were six of them in total around the diffusing tunnel.
Sorry, there was one more question right there. Is this in front of you?
And that'll be it, yes.
Thank you. You had in the procedure, you measured exactly what the memory card load, for example, for banana is, and then you actually measured a banana and the different illuminance. The question is, what is a banana? It depends, what did you use in order to measure real stuff under?
Well, what we placed under there was a real banana. So we lit it with 100 different RGBA settings. We measured the chromaticities that way, and that was used in the data. Now, to use it in the model, you need the spectral reflectance, and the one that we used was the spectral reflectance of the object that we placed during the test of the where the observers had to rate the banana. So we did not use, then we go out to the shop and take another banana and use that spectral reflectance. We used the actual spectral reflectance that was used in the experiment itself. So any subtle other influences that were there are implicitly taken into account in this way in the model.
Thank you, Carol. Let's thank our speaker again.